I am unashamed. What about you?
So Dan, you came in today. I'm already laughing.
20
just
minutes
looking.
Late. Because
I put on a fresh shirt.
Well, let me tell the story.
You were coated.
You were 5 minutes. We get here. Phil's always here.
He's always the first one here.
Yeah. And we get here today. We come in, sit down. No Phil. So Phil comes in a few minutes late, and he literally looked like he had been rolling around in a mud pit with an alligator. His hair still, you can't tell probably on screen, but yeah,
it's sticking in there. Yeah, there's
mud.
A piece.
He was just mud and wet
mud.
With sweat.
So you just kind of press it down, and it'll dry out. It'll crumble in about an hour.
Yeah,
it'll just start crumbling.
I had the same problem. I had something yesterday.
I usually wait till Saturday to take a shower, but today I think I might have to take one on Monday.
So we said, look.
Yeah, Dad's like, we got to get this thing going. We're like, no, go clean yourself.
Clean yourself up. So you're actually, the way, you know, you looked 10 minutes ago was, as Granny used to say, repulsive and obnoxious.
And despisable. So we're what, not, tell we're the not, artists what you
what,
were doing.
What caused the mud?
Why were you covered in
we're
dirt?
We're not farmers, but yesterday, stone started at 6 o'clock in the morning. I went up and met with the brothers up there in a church building. So it's the second time I've been to town 5 times in since April.
And so now you're back to going once a week.
I go up there once a week. But
I didn't know y'all were meeting. I thought
they met. They started meeting the same time.
I was in Austin. Yeah. With Jeff. We were going to meet, but they canceled service.
But a lot of
they're
people
having a spike down there.
Might not understand from air vantage, but okay, I sit down. I sit at a table. I don't talk down to them. I talk with them. So I got my Bible out. And I had a lesson prepared, and some people came up and said, there's a couple in the audience, and one of them wants you to baptize them. I said, really? And then 5 minutes later, somebody else came up and said, there's another couple over there. See that younger man? Yeah. And his wife, they're here. He wants you to baptize him. I said, well, great. And I looked back at my lesson there, and they said, somebody else walked up and said, there's somebody here we got a guy here from New Jersey, came all the way down here and wants you to baptize him. I said, well, I tell you what, since we have 3 on tap here and they want to be born again today, I said, I'll just give you some scriptures that you could look into. So I went through the gospel with them. You know, who are you counting time by? It's 2020 years from something. So you walk it back, you get to Jesus coming in flesh, dying on a cross, being buried. So I just went through the gospel. Faith in that message. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. So I said, that is the message. Secondly, I said, if you believe it, a lot of people say, well, there's nothing you can do about it. Well, you have to believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe he exists, and he rewards you for all the ones that seek him. So we talked about faith. We talked about repentance. I don't know what y'all been up to. Where are you from? I'm just talking to him now in the audience. He said, New Jersey. I said, New Jersey. I said, one of the few people I've met on the earth from New Jersey. I said, I'm glad you're here. I said, so where are you folks from? Indiana. I said, Indiana. Yep. Great state. And I said, and you, my friend? He said, I'm from Oberlin, Louisiana. I said, Oberlin?
Never heard of it.
Well, it's down there around Kinder. It's heading toward New Orleans, Oberlin. And he had a little French vintage wife. I could tell that.
And, by their accent?
I asked her about her cooking. Yep. And just the way she looked, you know, she looked like a little Cajun lady.
Yeah.
Which, so I went through the gospel with them, and now we get to a man is fixing to be born again, and he believes that Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days after he died. So here comes the pandemic and the rules and regulations regarding social distancing, because I can either rope him and just throw him down in the water with a rope, making sure I'm 6-8 feet away, or I can just put my hand on the guy, walk up to him, and tell him Jesus has removed your sin and will raise you from the dead. The only problem is I'm not going to give you coronavirus, because I haven't been to town but 5 times, and then I've been shielded at that. I said, but if he can raise dead men from the ground,
yeah,
let's trust him on the pandemic. How about that?
You may give you some motivation.
You know what
this?
The people did, by the way, and this is a congregation 60% black, 40% white. I only bring that up because people say I'm a racist, and I'm like, well, you could have fooled me. So I told the congregation, what do y'all think? He can raise dead men from the ground, or we got to get 6 foot away. How are we going to get this guy and baptize him? I haven't found that text in Scripture. Unless there's a pandemic, you got to shut it down. You baptize them unless there's a pandemic, and then call it off. I'm like, born again, eternal life.
Let me give you some.
I said, let's just trust in God and go with it, and we'll see. And if I get the coronavirus and die, I'm like, I went out in a blaze of glory, is all I can tell you.
Yeah. Let me give you some motivation, because I went and saw Jeff this, well, the past.
Jace, you think I need some motivation?
No, but you're going to like this story.
All right, I like that better.
You're going to dislike the story so much.
Oh, I'm motivated when I got up this morning at 6 really? O'clock planning the privet hole so we can kill some ducks over there. And you was up there watching the stock market.
Mr. Subdivision.
Free money.
Jace, I'm your dad. Like, I'm 74. You're just hit 50, but your whiskers are getting gray. So we basically, I don't want to come on too strong, but you've caught up with me, you and Al here. Oh. Y'all are like, you're not young bucks anymore, Jace.
Well, now, I know you don't like mirrors in particularly, but I mean, I just think we stood side by side. There's still a chasm.
Yeah.
But the motivation. Oh, I'm trying to see why Phil's stirred up this morning.
He is stirred up.
You know my view of it, Al? At least we're still here. Because every time I say, you know, I'm getting too old for this stuff, up here at 6 o'clock in the morning running around out there in the mud hole. But then it occurs to me, I said, then I keep getting older, and I keep putting up with this stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
well, I thought you were having people work for you. But now after I saw you, nope, you're doing some work. It's hard to get that muddy without doing something.
Yeah, you were still.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a splatter. This was you've been rolling around.
Remember,
in the
we're
mud.
Planting silt. Silt for all of these ladies and gentlemen who are not familiar with that, because they live in some subdivision cooped up, you know, 4 stories up the building there. So silt is what backwater leaves. Backwater, when it finally falls out after a 20-foot backwater for 4 months, high water.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it comes off that ground, if you're the first person who plants something, if you can plant your crop before the undesirables start coming up out there, you'll have a crop. But you've got to catch it. As soon as the water comes off of it, within 3 days, you have to be there.
And where it's not so muddy, you bog down all your equipment.
And so you say, what kind of piece of equipment would you drive out in the middle of the woods like that? Because it is muddy like you wouldn't believe, soft mud.
Yeah.
I've got the Yamaha people, they make great machines. I asked them, did they make ones with these tracks, like little bulldozer tracks on each wheel? They said, "It we can do it." So they fixed me one up, and they're great people, by the way.
Old it's Kyle, a side-by-side.
Kyle in East Texas over there, he's got about 4 or 5 dealerships. Yeah. I'm giving him a plug here. But the bottom line is, they got that machine, and you can ride on top of that silt, that mud, and your rig won't sink.
Oh, okay.
Well, Dan is spraying it by hand, because our little cedar we had on the back of the wheeler, it I ran over a bunch of little old trees going in there, thick in there. So we tore it up. So I got out there and was walking. Dan was walking, Dan the eunuch. He's walking and planting the whole thing with just a bag on his neck by hand. So he's got him a little twirler there. I'm going back and covering it up with them tracks because it's soft. So to keep the birds from getting it, I'm just going round and round. After he plants it, I went in there behind him. He'd plant some more. I'd go in there behind him. He'd plant some more. He'd come over there, fill his bag back up. So we're just stomping around in the mud. I'm going just right across there, covering up the the seed.
So how are you keeping him motivated? How are you keeping him motivated? Because he sounded like that sounds like
Dan.
Yeah, that sounded like kind of
when he would stop and his strength was leaving him, but he's Mr. Muscle Man.
I know he's all.
I don't get skinny ones or real heavy ones. No, because they'd die. But he got out there and said, "Dan, just remember, it's good for the upper abs, man." Of course, he's just stomping through mud.
He's a ninja.
And he would be looking up in the air, and look, he would be doing his shoulders like that. He's looking up into the sky, and he would be just standing there. And I said, "Dan, you all right?" He said, "I'm thirsty." I said, "Now I'll get you some water." I said, "Dan, in the days of Moses, I said, they didn't have tractors. They didn't have cedars. You know how they planted something? I said, you've got a little thing that's twirling, that's spreading it. I said, they reached over in that bag and slung it with their hands. I said, Dan, you're way back in time now, son. I said, this is the only way they could do it.
So
that's why they hired
people.
So you
took it back to thousands of years ago. I said, look at the advances we've made.
I said, they hired people to do what you're doing right now. I said, so suck it up, son.
Every time I hear that kind of story, I think about, remember our friend W.E.?
Oh, yeah.
We're playing softball. We're playing softball, and he was, like you mentioned, he way too heavy to be, because he was at the later stages of his career.
Well, he had skinny legs, but a big belly, and that's
well, he was huge, yeah. But he was very competitive, and he was a good ball player. The older he got, he just and so he hits a you
time
know hits one to the wall, takes a bad bounce, so he's running around the bases. The guy's fumbling with the ball. He's trying to get it inside.
He's
the
huffing
park.
And puffing.
Oh, he's doing more than that.
And we were all sitting in the dugout, you know, cause, and he rounding third because the idea of him hitting an inside.
He's coming in.
Inside the park home run is like.
And he sees this is his crowning moment.
Take the worst out of shape person you know, and it's like it could never happen.
Well, it's like the guy that's your favorite comedian, have a salad. What? Yeah. Bob Hughes. Yeah.
So look,
he weighed in at 1,200.
But look, I remember this like it was yesterday. When he rounded third, all of a sudden everything slowed down in my mind, and he tried to stop because he realized he couldn't make it. And it's like in slow motion, I could see all of his body going one way, and he said, "No, I'm going to go back to third." But there was so much weight there that during that transition, one of his knees, it just popped. And you could see it, and it was loud.
Oh, yeah.
It just went pop.
It makes me hurt.
Very agonizing to watch. And so he crawled back to third. And here's, it wasn't funny at the time.
And he's feeling much pain.
Oh, he's writhing in pain. It wasn't funny, but it has become funny through the years.
We can laugh about it.
The whole team comes out there. And he turns over and he says, "Water."
Water.
I'm like, "You just broke your leg and you're worried about these three bases that he just ran." He's like, "Water." So for years, time I've seen him, I'm like, "Water."
I think he recently, a couple of 3 years ago, he's about y'all's age.
He just got that knee replaced.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Which he'd got.
That was, 20 years
ago? That was a long time ago.
That was 20 years
ago. We were still young enough to think we could do things that without getting
Red, if you're listening, you got up, son. Now, the last time I saw
He's not listening.
He's up to about 400.
ADD. We probably had him for the first 3 minutes.
I called him about, let's take a quick break. So one of the things we're enjoying in our new environment or our old environment is our Black Rifle coffee. We talk about it quite often.
Gotta have it.
It's strong. It's tasty. It's roasted just right. The company was founded by veterans, guys that have been in the military, which is awesome. We love that. In fact, I was reading, Jace, that Evan Hafer, who is the CEO and founder of it, he spent 20 years in the U.S. Army as an infantryman. So these are the kind of guys that we like,
yes,
you know, special forces guys. So we're calling this America's Coffee, Freedom Coffee, they call it. So we want you to check it out, try it. You can basically go to blackriflecoffee.com/fill,
If you use the promo code Phil, you get 20% off your first purchase. That also includes their coffee club, which we are a member of. So check out blackriflecoffee.com/Phil.
So I called Bill, W's, he's a bunch of different names.
Red Shoes.
So I called him because I'd heard he lost some weight and I was about to start a diet. I said, so I just make him feel good. I said, I heard you lost some weight. So I called and want to see what you were doing. He said, well, you've gotten in bad shape if you're calling W.E. for weight advice. I said, yeah, I have.
That's why I'm calling. Hard to describe W.E. to people who don't know him. He's like, he is obnoxious, repulsive, and what other word would you say?
Well, brash, Granny said despisable.
But he's once you get to know him,
oh, he's a good
he's
guy.
Kind of he a was the best lovable, man. Angry person.
He was my best man in my wedding. But yeah. So I said, I heard you lost, how much weight have you lost, Bill? He said, 80 pounds. I was like, man, congratulations. That's awesome. He said, well, I still got another hondo to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sorry, Bill. I didn't realize you weren't quite at the halfway point with the two hondos. So I hope he's doing it.
So look, a while ago I was going to tell you about.
You could not have the guy that was the Dan that was walking around hand planting that in that muck. Oh, you would have had to have somebody under 40. Dan's about 34, 35. He's in his prime.
Well, he's
solid muscle.
He's a ninja. But he climbs.
You wouldn't
walls.
Take a man. Red would no. They don't, you'd call the ambulance. You'd haul him off.
That's right.
You'd have had to get a traco down there because he'd still be sinking. That muck. Right. I've experienced that. You know. So I was going to give you the motivation.
Now here's your motivation.
I know, because I went to Austin because we had to go to Missy's grandma's funeral, and we didn't have to go. We wanted to go. And which
how was the COVID funeral? That's not, probably what? Not good, huh?
It was depressing. We have so many laws now, and I get it. We're trying to stop it. But it's like the stress and anxiety that we're causing, because – number one, it was 100 degrees. Well, you know, you can't go indoors. So we're outside because of the corona. You got to be outside. Everybody's got a mask on.
And it's 100 degrees 100 in the
degrees.
Shade.
I'm not embellishing. It was 100 degrees. And so we're outside. And then you got a mask on. So now it's 109 right here.
In your face, yeah.
Yeah. And, but, you know, and then you got to be social distancing. Well, you know, everybody's emotional and upset, so we got to stay away from each other. It's hard to recognize family members you haven't seen in a while when they have a mask on. So I'm like, yeah. I'm leaning over to Missy. I'm like, because I knew it was a family
only.
You don't
know who to hug or who.
And I'm like, who is this? And she's like, I really don't know. With the mask. It was just hard to know. And it was just so, so awkward. I didn't like it at all. But, you know, I told Missy some of the conversations I had, I basically went with the best advice I ever got. I think when I lost my granny or Paul, you know, with us, I remember Matt Owen coming over and some encouragement, and he got his Bible out and he turned over to Hebrews 11.
12.
Well, 11. Yeah. But 11, he added her to the list. He had it there. I was like, who is that? He had granny. He's like, that's your granny. But he had some other people there too. And I thought,
his great cloud of witnesses.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so then we moved to Hebrews 12, which basically, since we're surrounded, now what? You know, now since we're surrounded, so number one, put her on the list. She's there. So what do we do? Then he says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off the things that hinder and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So that's the goal. We got to move on. Well, then the next verse is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So I basically told people, read the red letters and let's go. Let me use this as motivation. Because some of the family, they get bogged down, and use this funeral as a place to bury any kind of conflicts. Because with all families, you always have conflicts and things that didn't go right through the years, and you can use that as motivation. So that was kind of my motivation. But anyway, and so then I stayed with Jeff and Jessica, which was awesome because they were like, you know, don't leave. Why don't y'all move out here? And so they, I think they just missed the family. And we went metal detecting. In 2 days, I only found.
And y'all, you're actually moving, well, at least part time.
Well, we're thinking about it. But we, I found an 1898 half dollar, silver half dollar. So that was all. Jeff's never found a silver coin. I literally, 10 minutes into the hunt, I walk out there and it goes off. I thought it was an aluminum can, and it's a mint condition, 1898 half dollars. Like, yeah. Jeff, you've never found silver in Texas? He's like, nope. I mean, we had just started.
A dollar a piece or a 50?
Half dollar.
Half dollar.
And I said, oh, man. And I thought he was going to pass out. He's like, you just found that? I was like, yep, right there. So then we like
Jeff,
hung out
in
there.
Texas
for,
or not.
We hung out there for like 4 hours, you know, but that's the only thing we found. But anyway, on the way back, because I had to get Mia, she was going to a camp, so I had to get her back. The one news story, this is your motivation I was going to give you.
Yeah, I've been waiting a while now.
This is a circular, you know. You've lost.
Jason's got it in his head. I need to be motivated. But come on out with it. I'm okay. Still.
Did you know that in California, over the past 2 or 3 days,
California,
they passed a law. The governor of California saying you cannot sing in church. Because of the coronavirus. Look it up.
You have got to be kidding.
It's true.
You hadn't heard this? I figured you listened and watched the news. I just happened to hear it in an interview. They had interviewed. What happened was
there's three churches suing.
Yeah. Three other pastors sued, so they were interviewing one of them. I caught the interview. But what was disturbing about it is when you kind of break it down and analyze it. Now, because these churches, at first they said, just like ours, they were like, okay, you can meet, but it can only be 25% capacity, whatever. So everybody's following the rules. Okay, even we did that, 6 feet apart, okay. But now when they did that, they said no. Because here's why. You can talk, but you can't sing. Well, just think about it. Because that's the underlying impression. Look, the protesters outside of the street, they can shout.
There's no mandate over that. You can
shout, holler, do sing songs. Or
Jace, there's a picture of somewhere in L.A. I've seen it. I mean, they had a drone, and there were thousands of people just stacked in like cordwood from a few weeks ago, yelling and screaming. Some had a mask, some didn't. And I'm like, how do you look at that? And then you tell churches – you can't sing. That's crazy.
Well, since the difference in
the only way you can look at it is we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual battle going on.
Well, there's no doubt.
If somebody passes an edict, some governor, that you can't sing, I mean, come on.
In church.
But you can get in large groups of 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000, or 5,000 and do everything, spit, holler, throw.
You already got a mask on.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
They're, right.
But you can't sing. Well, that's just a spiritual undertone. Now, look, the difference in me and y'all is when I heard that on the news, I had no reaction because I didn't know if it was true or not. But when I got home, I looked it up because I thought, I want to see if that's true. Because it sounded so ridiculous that I thought, this can't be true. No, it's true. That the governor sitting in his office.
Persecution comes
says,
in many
no
forms.
No singing in church. I thought, now that's somebody who doesn't love Jesus and who's, there's some bitterness here. When of all the things you could do, because you, like I said, you're not outlawing talking. They have a mask on. They've complied with every other thing. You're not targeting any other group of people in any kind of way in with, you know, singing, shouting, talking loud. And then I just thought, yep, that's an anti-godly. To me, that there's no other explanation than to say, I don't like God, and I don't. It bothers me that y'all are worshiping God. Yep. So
I think you're exactly right. Let's take another break.
So we talk about this. It's crazy when you think about it. I guess it's cyber crime is a new way. You know, people invent ways of doing evil.
Probably the number one crime now.
Cyber crime.
Because people, everybody's on the internet except Phil.
Especially during the pandemic. And there's a woman named Deborah that literally lost her home, which was, you know, and she was like, we were being evicted and we didn't, you know, we thought we still owned our house, which is incredible.
Stole the title
because it's out there in computer land, as Dad calls it. But there's a company called Home Title Lock that basically can protect your online title. And so that's their main job. You need to check these guys out. You go to HomeTitleLock.com. You register your address. Make sure you're not already a victim. If you use the code PHIL, you get 30 free days of protection. So HomeTitleLock.com, code PHIL. Check them out and check out. Make sure you still own your home.
And I think how you know that is because...
I think they hate us, boys.
They do.
Well, and, finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say that when you look at their logic, because they'll say, well, you have a constitutionally protected right to protest. And then you're like, yeah, and a constitutionally protected right of religion to practice that. So when you were talking about baptism a minute ago, that's one of our sacraments, one of our things. That's part of our spiritual experience. The government can't tell you.
I would go to jail for that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's exactly right. But it's so hypocritical,
I mean,
is my point.
Yeah, I would. I mean, to me, if they were walking down the street singing, I could at least see some logic from their view that you're spreading, you know. But to say at your building, which, look, I think you should be singing in the streets, not necessarily in the building all the time. But having said that, this is just an attack on established churches. That's all that is.
By a lot of different leaders around the country.
Boys, all I'm telling y'all is if they win this upcoming election in about 100 days or so, 3 or 4 months, if they win, I fear that we are going to suffer extreme persecution.
I've been saying
we might as well get ready for it.
In fact, I thought the part of the from just a spiritual perspective, part of the thing with the whole pandemic at the beginning, when most churches weren't meeting, I really viewed it as a sort of a first opportunity for us to be, what's it going to be like when we can't meet? Because what happens when the government
finally just
says, yeah, we're already seeing it. You know?
Well, I think this was the first sign I've seen.
It's coming.
All right, do you want to get into John 9 or you want to take questions?
So we'll get into John 9, but I want to mention something before we get there, because you brought this up a minute ago, and it sparked something in my brain, and I think it'd be good for our audience. So, you know, a funeral is an opportunity for us to say, you know, good things about a person, gather as a family. Basically, you're saying, see you later. You know, we realize the resurrection, so we don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. But I just, as I was sitting here, I was thinking about, we had a cousin, dad's nephew, that got addicted to opioids, and so it eventually took his life. He took his life as a result because he was going to go to prison. And so for the last 10 years of his life, you know, it was just addict. It was betrayal, you know, his family, everything was just a terrible period of time, even though we all tried to help him, mom and dad especially. But I thought about it when I was asked to speak at his funeral. Because he and I were close early in our life. And so, you know, I was just like, man, this is a tough one because his life was not good. Even though he had made attempts, you know, to get off of it through those last few years and had some spiritual moments. But still, overall, it was a train wreck. And everybody that was there was our family or people that knew him. And, well, he had burned everybody in the group, all of us, you know. And so I just never forget when I was sitting there, I was watching. They did those thing where they show pictures, and it was really good for me because I remembered him from when we were young, you know, when he was a good guy before he got hooked on drugs. So as I was sitting there, I thought, you know, I mean, the last 10 years were bad, but the first 42, you know, he was a good guy. He you know, we loved him. We still loved him. So it helped me kind of prepare my heart. So, you know, I did something at that funeral I'd never done before, and now I've done it at everyone since that I've spoken because I've done a lot of funerals. And it was to give the audience an opportunity
to forgive him and not be bound anymore when you leave here to start a process, because he's gone. So he can't make it right. See what I'm saying?
Well, that's why I brought up the Hebrews 12.
That's why I love that thought that you brought up.
I think there were people there, without getting too deep into it, that had some issues, you know, in the family just through the years.
Right.
And so Missy was kind of nervous about it. And that's why I got into this passage. He just, you know, I know we visited earlier, and I'm revisiting it, because if you look at it like that, because you're right, and a lot, it's not our job to get up at a funeral. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, that, you know, they preached him to heaven. Yeah. Or, you know, just some, he's gone.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus does say, let the dead bury their own dead. That's why I'm always looking forward.
Right.
They're gone. It's not going to make you feel any better on how the preacher weaves their life. You know, we're all alive.
Right.
So it's time to move on. But I love that, because it says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Well, you think, what is that? We're all humans. We all make mistakes. We've all had to deal with bitterness, past mistakes.
Right.
So that pretty much covers everything. And then it says, and the sin that so easily entangles. Well, all the hindrances and disagreements that we have, and all the, you know, alienation and divisiveness in our family, it's what you do about it is what makes us.
Right.
And so you can either choose to sin over it.
Right.
Or you can choose to forgive and move on. But to me, in this context, it all came from, since all these people are dead and are right. watching, I guess,
right.
in some way. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for Jesus. Because it's like one of our family members who was particularly upset, you know, with Gigi dying. I mean, to a point to where I thought, if I'm looking and I remember that verse, we don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. You mentioned that twice.
Right.
But if I'm looking at you and it does seem like you are,
right,
I'm going to read this. Because I'm like, look, you've got to run the race with perseverance. Don't get so bogged down in whatever is in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sad. It's okay to cry, but we're fixed to run the race here, and we're going to use this as motivation.
And I guess what struck me was that, I mean, I've spoken a lot of funerals for a lot of families and a lot of people I didn't know that well, but obviously they were connected. But it hit me that every time you're gathered in that setting, there's somebody that has old wounds and old stuff and whatever. So the verse I read, Jay, Hebrews 12, same context, but a little bit later, verse 15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And so that's what
excellent
happens.
Excellent point.
Because people, if you carry that bitterness and you continue to carry it. So what I told our family was, I said, look, I know some of you are so deeply wounded sitting here today that you can't just do this because I'm reading the verse. I realize it's going to take a minute, but you got to start the process in your heart, because he's gone. And if you carry that hurt and wound in your life, then you're going to carry everything that destroyed him the last 10 years of his life. You'll keep it going. I mean, that's the problem when we can't release.
The only thing that will stop anger or bitterness, the only thing that'll solve it, just forgive them.
That's right.
In your anger, do not sin. And the way it's worded, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. He said, better get over it quick.
Right.
Well, if that's the admonition, and don't give the devil a foothold. So the evil one works in there, especially with the anger.
There's
a lot of angry people running around on planet Earth. A lot of them.
Oh, man. And that's the whole problem with this whole thing we see in our country.
And a lot of them don't know why they're angry. They just are.
That's right.
Well, his goal was verse 3. You know, he pointed you to Jesus in verse 2. He said, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. So that's why I tell, you know, at any funeral, you need to read the red letters. You read them. Because you're always going to feel better, number right. one, but it's also going to give you a bigger picture, because that's what Jesus did in every situation. He gave it a bigger picture of life. So you fix your eyes on it, and then you consider him and what he endured. Because no matter whatever happened to you, nothing is as bad as what happened to Jesus, because he didn't do one thing wrong, and they punished
him. You hear that same line over and over. I mean, you're trying to tell me after what they did to me that I need to, you know, forgive them? Yeah, and you're trying to say love never fails. Never.
Yeah.
Just get over it, dude.
Yeah.
But I think that's why Jesus went through the whole process, is that we always use as an excuse for something that's bad that's happened to us on why we are the way we are. And Jesus can always trump that, because that was the worst, other than the innocent, you know, babies, and
right.
because Jesus was innocent. But he's the only adult that was innocent that got punished
If Jesus could muster up after they beat him half to death, falsely accused him, beat him half to death, and literally strung him up by nailing spikes through his feet and his hands, and he still could say, forgive them. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing. If you could still have forgiveness at that point.
As he's hanging there.
Well,
hanging there, you're like.
And not only that, Phil, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith.
Yep.
Who for the joy set before him endured the cross.
I was zeroed in on enduring the cross.
Right. Well, who for the joy set before him? Well, what was that?
A perfectly innocent man.
But what was the joy set before him?
Us.
That's had right. to be us.
Had to be had us.
The only reason he did it.
That's right.
And with us and all our mistakes. So then he goes on the next verse saying, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you, which was his point, throw off everything that entangles the sin. Everything that hinders the sin so easily entangles, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Those the two things. When you quit, that's when you quit.
Yeah.
When you start getting, well, I'm tired. You know, I don't know why. I've heard people say, I'm just tired of, you know, and they just give up. And so then they start doing things that are sinful.
Plus, it really helps you. The old guy week before last Sunday morning, I'm getting out of the rig, and I've already mentioned this. Some guy was calling me a white supremacist. You know, some dude standing on the side of the road. I'm a white supremacist and a racist. I heard those two remarks. And my bodyguard said, he's on in the building a minute. So he goes over there and had a little interview with him, invited him to hear a few words about Jesus.
Yep.
But a week later, there was three people that were born again in the same structure.
Yep.
And the guy was just, he didn't know what he was talking about. But you said, would you hold that against that old guy? No, it's kind of a sad thing, really. I'm like, hey.
Did it cross your mind not to go the next Sunday?
Never entered my
mind. Because someone thought never you were a racist
mind.
Or a white supremacist?
Never entered my mind.
Ignorantly?
Oh, no. No.
Which is my point about the whole thing.
It was more motivation for me than, speaking of motivation, Jay, that motivates me when somebody says, wait, I'm like,
Well, that's why I feel sadness when I see these people so bitter and so hurt, you know?
Sad thing to
watch. Well, it's real. I've known families that were like people haven't spoken to one another in 20 years.
Yep.
You know, it just, you're like, well, how does that happen?
Who was that bunch up in Missouri, the Hatfield McCoys?
Well, they're in Kentucky.
Kentucky.
They fought for about 100 years.
I'm not
they
sure.
Forgot what the fight was about after a while.
By the time you get so many generations into a fight, after a while, somebody's forgotten why it all started.
I'm not sure they were believers.
They probably weren't.
Well, all we're going to be able to do is preview John 9 because we're almost out of time.
Well, let's take another break, Dad.
So I've talked about it before. Lisa and I hadn't always had the best credit history because we weren't always the best at taking care of our
stop making bad decisions. Bills.
Al. Well, I'm doing better. I'm doing better now. We both are. But there was a time when we really needed. If you're trying to, we were trying to buy a car, trying to buy a house. We needed our credit score to be better than it was. The folks at Scoremaster.com would have been handy back in those days for us. Basically, they help raise your credit score. Some have had as much as 61 points raised in 20 days. So if you're out there trying to refinance something, buy a car, buy a house, we want you to check these guys out. It's Scoremaster.com/Phil. Scoremaster.com/Phil and get your credit score up today.
But I wanted to bring up something. I came across something pretty interesting. I started thinking about this. I mean, Jesus bends down, you know, spits on the ground, makes a mud pie after they tried to figure out who's at fault here that someone is born blind. And so he just lickety spit and heals him. I literally just thought of that. That needs to be the title of your sermon now.
I've never
lickety.
I've never actually heard the exegetical.
I'm gonna write that down.
Lickety so, spit.
Lickety spit.
It literally just came to my mind. So look, good. I got to thinking about this because what we're fixing to do during the investigation of this, of course, this is like John 5 because he did this on the Sabbath. So that comes up again. Well, here he is. I mean, well, how dare you make a mud pie on the Sabbath? They didn't say that, but pretty much. Yep. What are you doing?
Yeah, by the way, you're there. But, I'll just insert while you're talking about that.
All right.
One of the things Jesus said, I think, earlier was, but it's coming up. No, it's in John 10, where he said, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. He said, look, if you don't believe I'm who I say I am, he said, at least believe the miracles. He said,
yeah.
In other words, what they should have done is said, now, wait a minute, he was blind, yeah, now he can see. You're like,
yeah.
Even a miracle didn't do it for him. They're like, wait a minute here. I mean, how come he was blind to begin with? And I'm sitting here thinking, if I had been there, I believe I'd have said, but maybe as an unbeliever, you're like, But,
well, I got to thinking, yeah. Phil. I got to thinking, why would he do this? Because when people see this, the number one they think is gross. Well, that's gross.
Yeah.
But think about this. Jesus is the creator of the universe. We've already read John 1, 2. Nothing that has been made was made without him.
That's right.
Well, this was God. The actual spitting that we do, saliva and spit, that's God's idea.
Well, you got to have it.
He created this.
Yeah.
And so I got to thinking about this. Well, what were the Pharisees' problem here? They couldn't digest what Jesus was representing. Couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
So I got to looking at spitting. I was like, what does spitting do? I was amazed what saliva does.
Oh, now, you got to have it.
Not necessarily spitting, but I mean, I think God knew that if you put a bunch of saliva in your mouth, somebody's going to start spitting. You know what I mean?
You don't think he was surprised.
You remember the guy that came down here?
I just think of the things I've had to spit out, and I was glad I had the...
Well, look, I did some research, and my point is...
The wherewithal to do so.
My point is this. I do think there's a correlation there, because when I looked at the role of saliva, no, that was a lot of things. But the top four, I guess, that stuck out to me, that it, you know, protects your teeth. It keeps you from choking because it gives you some lubrication, but it starts digesting immediately, whatever, how God made us. Yeah. When you're eating, and it also creates, for whatever you're eating to taste better.
I've never heard of anyone who couldn't spit, but I would think that if you didn't have enough moisture in your mouth, so you would spit from time to time. I would think that would be a terrible position to be in.
Why does us talking about it making more saliva in my mouth? Is that my subconscious?
But what like, I think he takes such a random thing as saliva and with mud and then does the miracle that it would force you to believe.
That's why I don't think it's possible for the writer of this, John the Apostle. He said, let me just sit. I need to dream up something that I can hoodwink the human race. I tell you what, I'll come up with a story whereby Jesus spit on the ground. I just don't think, if it was a lie, I don't think you could have dreamed up the things that he did.
I think that too.
When last time
we talked, it boggles the mind.
But you know what? It's interesting. I looked up the many spitting records, and look, there were hundreds. I mean, a couple that stood out to me were every year they have the world's longest cricket spit. And it has all the rules. Like it's got to be brown.
Do you spit an actual cricket?
An actual cricket. It has to be frozen, and then it's so thawed.
He's a dead cricket.
He's a dead cricket. He's frozen, but he's thawed. And when you put it in your mouth, you have 20 seconds. You know what the record is? 32 feet.
That's a long way.
That's a long way to spit a cricket.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
I saw the old African-American woman sitting on the porch. I've told you this before. And she spit Sweet Garrett snuff from the edge of the porch. Me and Si were standing there watching. And it went from here to that curtain back there. I would say 15 or 20 feet. I looked at Si. I said, would you like to be able to spit like that or what? He said, she's the world champion. I never seen Sweet Garrett go that far.
31 feet.
And it was like in a string. It wasn't like in a plug. It was just like about a...
like a water hose. Huh?
Well, it was just like 3 or 4 inches kind of spaced out and like a rocket. I told Si, I said, I wish I could do that. He said, I ain't never seen anybody spit like that.
Well, I love the regular
These are
tobacco.
Things that some people didn't have in their childhood, but we were just young boys, but we were impressed.
What I'm saying is it's an attention
the 32
getter.
Feet, that is pretty incredible.
Well, it's 31 is the record. And a cherry pit is 93 feet. They have cherry pit spitting competition every year.
But that'd be more like a blow dart, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like a
yeah.
But the reason I'm saying this is here, I think that's why Jesus chose this. I mean, I know people think spitting is gross, but when you look at what saliva does, and then humans are enamored by it. I thought the same thing about, you know, passing gas or farting or whatever you want to call it. These people that think that that's uncivilized, they're miserable people. You know why? Because when you don't expel gas, you cramp.
Yep.
And when you're denying that that's funny.
Why is it funny?
Always funny. Look, kids, every kid from 2 to 4 goes through the potty bowel.
Oh, yeah.
And parents do the worst thing they can do. They quit talking like that. Stop talking like that. No, it's funny. They've realized that when you poot, it's funny. And the parents are like, no. So look, when I got to my third kid, I said, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm celebrating. Now look, my daughter, she'll walk through the house, romp. Because I told her when she was 2 to 4, I was like, go for it. It's funny. God made you that way. She even today, and you've heard her, tells jokes about
it. She's somebody knowing you ever since you were born, but I had never thought about that.
Well, what I'm saying is God created that, and now you're going to be delusional and think that that makes you uncivilized.
Yeah.
And I know God has a sense of humor because he put odor in it and he put sound to it.
I've trained myself Even if man, woman, or child, or beast, I'm oblivious to that.
Well, when you get over 70, nobody cares, and if people understand.
And I noticed
incontinent.
What helps? I don't know whether it's part of the equation or not, but I have noticed that when you get to be 74, that's what I am. I would say in the last 3 years, my smell got a little less.
Well, I got that. So to look now,
Miss Kay says, "Could you smell what's on in the oven?" I said, "Miss Kay, I can't smell anymore. I can't smell."
Oh, so you're saying it doesn't stink? You just can't.
He
smell
can't smell it.
Oh, that's two different things. Yes. And that doesn't help.
I can't smell it. I mean, you could lay one out. I'd never smell it. I mean, I don't care.
But the downside is you can't smell anymore. You can't smell the peach cobbler either.
I used to go through the woods and could smell squirrels when I was a boy. Yeah. But now, I can't smell what's on for dinner.
But look, one of my buddies told me a story that when he was dating his wife, he said that he's at the family gathering, first time meeting the family. He said the dad of the girl he's dating, which he eventually married, he said he's telling some story. And he, like, halfway through the story, he just kind of stopped and reared up. And he said it was just, like, guttural, like something going through a garbage disposal. And he said nobody laughed. Nobody snickered. And he said, I lost it. He said, I could not maintain control. He said, I had to get up and leave. He said, you know, when you don't want to laugh.
But it didn't get the way of him married the girl.
Well, right, he still married her, but his point was,
he still got her. They no divorce.
Yeah, they're still married. But his point was, what's wrong with these people in that we can't chuckle? But he said, the family was stone faced,
silence,
which made it worse for him.
Oh yeah,
because I just the worst thing is for something to be funny. Dating, and the guy literally like because I never
say, whoa, sorry about that.
Why are you leaning to one side? That's not really doing anything. But in your mind,
it just amplifies.
Yeah, and so I only say all this to say this: that God, I think if you look at the purpose of why we have these things, it helps us understand. That here's the creative universe doing something that, because I think people in the world read this, think that's so silly. That's he spit on the ground. You actually want me to believe that? Well, yeah, I do.
What's the word you're supposed to have? Etiquette.
Yeah, I mean, etiquette.
You're supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm challenging through this story. Because I think that is something that somebody created that it's not the right etiquette. Where I'm saying, well, yeah, the alternative is what? Ride the ramp round on the ground with cramps, and you're so anxious. Oh, you just need to break wind, and then laugh about it, and we move on. Yeah. It's funny.
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. That's why I like the Unashamed podcast. We can go from John 9 to spittle to breaking wind on the same conversation. I mean,
God created
us. We're the only podcast in America.
God created these functions. Embrace it.
You did.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.